21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Zoe Hieronymus.
Everybody needs a helping hand. Take a look at your fellow man and tell me, what can I do today? 'Cause everybody needs a helping out. If that ain't what it's all about, tell me what... What can I do? What can I do today?
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Laura Kortner is our executive producer and Anita Brockington, our engineer. As regular listeners know, I have spent a lifetime as an activist and as a broadcaster, have been covering and advocating for sane environmental, social justice, and animal rights policy, from stopping food irradiation to the use and abuse of pesticides, resisting GMOs, and supporting sustainable agriculture options. In more recent years, 21st Century Radio has done programming to stop the tar sands pipeline, fracking, chemtrails, and for 35 years we have fought against weather engineering, a seldom discussed component of earth changes, and global climate disruption. We did our first show in the mid-80s on global warming and ozone depletion, and now in the 21st century find ourselves once again not only deeply engaged in the right of all sentient animals to be treated with respect and rights, but exposing the insidious dangers of the newest planet-wide objective to boost the telecom industry profits by insisting on the need for faster wireless connections to connect all things to a data tracking base called the Internet of Things and its horrendous, life-assaulting 5G technology, which uses higher microwave energies than currently used. There will be more satellites, receivers, and transmitters in our local lives, schools, and elsewhere. Thousands of medical and scientific studies on the effects of microwave, RF frequencies, EMF in general, and our ever-increasing wireless ambient background is already shown to diminish the well-being of all biotic life systems, from plants and animals to human beings. Tonight we will dwell on the known and unknown dangers associated with what is called 5G technology. To explain these known dangers, the insidious politics, and the lack of safety studies are two guests. First hour, we will be joined by Patricia Wood, who joined us in 2018 to talk about 5G, fracking, and other environmental dangers. Patricia Wood is the founder and executive director of Grassroots Environmental Education. Second hour, we'll be joined by Theodora Scarrato, executive director of Environmental Health Trust, ehtrust.org, a scientific think tank with some of the leading experts on 5G and wireless-related issues internationally. Also, I wish to extend my gratitude to Marylander Kate Keel for taking the time on a few occasions to explain to me personally what 5G is, what safe 5G could be, and for suggesting a number of wonderful guests from around the world. Visit the website she is involved in maintaining at www.safeg.net and www.whatis5g.info. Thank you so much for joining us, Patricia.
I'm delighted to be here.
You know, the mission of Grassroots Environmental Education, when you go to the website, tells us you inform the public about the health risks of common environmental exposure and to empower individuals to act as a catalyst for change. So first, why don't we start with a bit about the overall worldview your organization has?
Well, unfortunately, that view is growing and growing and growing. We have a mission to, as you said, to educate the public about the links between common environmental exposures and human health. And we really focus on the most vulnerable in our society. So we look a lot at how children are being exposed both in their homes and in their school environments. We also look at pregnant women very, very carefully, because if there is a single part of our population that is the most vulnerable, it would be the developing fetus. And then we also look at issues in our environment that affect a very large portion of our population, and this is where 5G comes in. because it's basically ubiquitous. Wireless technology is ubiquitous. 5G is set to be, part of that ubiquitous exposure over the next couple of years. So we're very engaged, unfortunately,
right,
on a lot of different issues. And you mentioned some of the things that you have covered, like GMOs and fracking, and we work on flame retardants and PFAS, and we work on, we're working on global warming by trying to do, very practical things like putting on sustainable energy expos all around New York State, bringing in all those companies that are producing energy without fossil fuel, and just trying to link them up with the builders and the contractors and the architects and so on, so they really understand that it's really feasible. You actually can do this. You can just cut those gas lines and put in a geothermal system.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Lots going on in the world today.
Yeah, that is absolutely the best way to put it, and so that your heart doesn't skip a beat. You go, okay, that's the reality of what we're facing now. You know, when I first learned about 5G from you and the tar sands valve turners were the first to, alert me to it, and I hadn't even heard of it. And I realized that here I am, a lifelong activist, so tuned in to the environment, and I realized that I hadn't heard of it. Millions of others have never heard of it. And then when I started to just check out media coverage, it was all poo-pooing those who were concerned about it. And what you actually find online, for the most part, is promotion by AT&T and Verizon and all these other carriers who are already doing experiments in different states of the union. So why don't we start with the basics? Firstly, the why, and the what, because people go, well, is how different is 5G from 4G? Let's start at the starting point of how things have been up to this point.
Well, we've been relying on a bunch of different types of coverage for our wireless devices. If I can just start out here, I'm just trying to figure out how we do this. So let me just start with, where we were.
Okay.
Way back when. So
right.
In 1977, we introduced a personal computer. 1992, we added broadband to that as well. 1996, we added cell phones. Now, they were actually being used previous to this, but this is when we actually rolled them out and offered them to the public. And that was in 1996 is when we started using 1G, first-generation wireless transmission. 1998, just 2 years later, we introduced not only do we have computers and cell phones and towers, obviously, because we need the towers, but we also started letting these low-orbit satellites help us with our connectivity. So that's when we actually started 2G, second-generation wireless. 2001, computers, cell phones, towers, low-orbit satellites, and Wi-Fi. And when Wi-Fi came on the scene in a very big way, then we also moved to 3G. 2007, we added smartphones, not just our regular little cell phones, our flip phones, but we added smartphones to the equation, and that's where we are right now with 4G. So that's as long as we have had 4G. That's since 2007, so that's a while ago. It was going very rapidly, as you can see from the very beginning, 1992, 96, 98, 2001, 2007, and that's where we were.
Yeah.
So now in 2019, we are adding 5G, which is going to allow us to have faster downloads, self-driving cars, virtual reality, which is 3D, and the Internet of Things, which you had mentioned earlier.
And before you go too far on that, the scale of the change is what is just absolutely extraordinary. I mean, in terms of not only the radio frequency transmitters, But the amount of 20,000 new satellites, 200 billion transmitting objects, which will be, I mean, or and 1 trillion objects a few years later. So we're talking about not only this database tracking system of all parts of our life, but we're talking about radiation that everything on the planet will be exposed to, whether you live in the jungle or you live in an urban environment.
That's right. And that's due to the low orbit satellites.
So share with us this, because it's a huge issue to try to,
it's a huge issue. You know, and people really, as you said, they don't have a clue. You go into a meeting and you are there to talk about, you're at a hearing for a local village, and they have gotten an application from one of the contractors that put up the infrastructure for 5G. And they've gotten an application for 19 small cells. And here you are at this hearing, and you make your pitch, and people are going, what? I had no idea. I mean, they just don't have a clue. I mean, the public thinks that if you get faster downloads and you get better coverage for your cell phone and everything is fast, this has all got to be good.
Right.
The radiation component of it.
Right.
Has not been widely disseminated, and it is because the telecoms, they are one of the major advertisers on all media, print media, broadcast media, and the internet. I mean, that's what you see. Those are the advertisements that you see. And if you think that any one of those outlets is going to print something or talk about something that is going to make that advertiser pull their business, that's not going to happen.
Well, and
so that's why people don't know about it.
Exactly. And the media in this country is so in bed with the corporate structure that, the oligarchy is what it is. We see it in mm-hmm. politics. We see it in the environment. We see it in agriculture. You know, it's a war economy is really what all of us have grown up in. Mm-hmm. When we look at 5G, though, and the change in radiation that we will be exposed to and the microwave shift that will occur, we already know from scientific and medical studies that whether it's cell phones, which are carcinogens, and that's well established now, is that we're talking about damage to the DNA, to our cells, to our organ systems, to plants, to animals, to cancer, heart disease, diabetes. I mean, there's already 10,000 peer-reviewed studies on EMF radiation, microwave radiation, RF radiation, and this takes us to a whole new octave of reckless endangerment.
That's right, because we are now using a different, we're using different frequencies for 5G. We're looking at total coverage of the Earth, millions of antennas. They're saying 800,000 to a million. No, that's probably initially correct. But then you're talking thousands of satellites beaming of 5G frequencies. And so they're using these high-frequency millimeter waves and submillimeter waves, as well as low frequency waves. So 5G is encompassing different combinations of microwaves. And what's really concerning to us about this is that only a military grade meter could measure these high frequencies of 5G. These meters are not really, available to the public. They're very expensive, and so it's going to be hard to even measure what our exposure is.
Yeah, so
that's a concern because, you get people who are concerned. They buy an acoustimeter. They go around their house and they figure out, where the hot spots are, and they look around and they make some changes. They remediate, and they can certainly also use it to show their teenage son, that he's got this hot, radiation-producing cell phone or smartphone in his pocket or against his head, and you can actually hear it on that meter. If you put the audio on, you can hear that radiation coming out of that phone.
Yeah, yeah. And in this shift, though, from 3 kilohertz to 300 gigahertz, so we're talking about millimeter waves, mm-hmm. one of the really troubling realities is that there'll be phased arrays, meaning they'll have to cluster them because the higher the frequency, the shorter the wavelength. So in order to transmit information, you need millions more of in order to carry the signal, mm-hmm. unlike what we're familiar with.
So the industry calls that densification.
Mm-hmm.
So densification there is going to take place in our neighborhoods now. It's not going to be along the highway or, you know, way over in the corner of the village where the water tower is, away from the neighborhood. These are going to be installed on existing infrastructure right in front or in back of our homes, depending on where your utility wires run. And they're going to be installing them on telephone poles and lighting poles. And, you know, they have to, as you said, install them in close proximity to the user because they don't have that same distance that a huge 4G antenna can provide.
Exactly. And so what we're basically talking about is microwaving, to put it in shorthand, mm-hmm. the entire planet. And we already mm-hmm. know what this does to the insect, animal, biotic life in terms of trees dying near these. Know what it does to humans.
Absolutely. I mean, right now in the world, there are 7 billion cell phones. And it is the main personal communication device for humans now. Every continent, doesn't matter where you live, everybody's got a cell phone. That's it. So 7 billion cell phones, and everybody wants them to do all these little tricks. Everybody wants them to be, you know, as cool as they can be. Nobody understands that technology is dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
This technology is incredibly dangerous.
You know, it's interesting.
You said 10,000 studies. There are actually more than 10,000. There are thousands, tens of thousands of studies. I mean, the U.S. military, it was actually the U.S. Navy back in the 1960s because they were the first U.S. Military division to actually use microwave radiation, not radiation, but microwave communication, two-way microwave communication. I mean, when they invented the radio, it was great. Here we have a distant radio tower, and everyone's just receiving a signal. You've got your little wooden box sitting on your coffee table, and it was just fantastic. You could hear the news. You could hear the London Philharmonic. You could, you know, you could listen to comedy shows or, you know, whatever, an inaugural address. You could. It was just amazing. The radio just opened up the world to humans. And then we started using the same type of technology for two-way communication. So now we were not only receiving the signal, sometimes from a very distant tower, but now we are actually transmitting, and it's in the transmission of those signals that it's so dangerous for us.
Yeah, and we'll come back to that with what, you know, in Europe, they already talk about cell phones as being carcinogens, and they talk to their population in some countries. I think France now bans cell phones in the schools, not just for health, but distraction. But they say kids under 15 should have no more than 1 hour a day of exposure to all of this technology, whether it's a computer, a cell phone, a smart machine, whatever. If you're just joining us. Yeah, well, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Patricia Wood is with us. She's the executive director and founder of Grassroots Environmental Education. Learn more about their work at www.grassrootsinfo.org and www.telecompowergrab.org. That's telecompowergrab.org and grassrootsinfo.org.
Hi, this is Leonard Higgins, Climate Direct Action activist with ShutItDown.today and an activist in the Extinction Rebellion. You can learn more about these subjects at ShutItDown.today and XRebellion.org. You are listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Our guest is Patricia Wood. She is the executive director and founder of Grassroots Environmental Education, which is a science-driven and solution-based environmental health organization based in Port Washington, New York. If you're joining us, this is a two-hour special on the 5G technology, what it means, what we can do about it, and what alternatives there are. So let's look at some of the significant issues in terms of the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, that you certainly understand, and it talks about the impacts on wildlife and the environment.
Yeah, so this is an interesting thing. This has been around for a long time, the NEPA Act, the National Environmental Policy Act. When anyone installed a large antenna, the FCC required an environmental assessment. And there were three different levels of assessment according to NEPA. One was that you were exempt, okay, because there was no issue. You know, it was too small to even make any kind of an impact. Number two, you would have to do an environmental assessment. And then if that environmental assessment, made it look like you would have to do more, you would be required to provide an environmental impact statement. So those were the three different levels of assessment. So when small cells came along, the small cell installers said that none of them are having an environmental impact, and basically we don't have to do anything about it. FCC agreed. In fact, in March of 2008, the FCC actually issued a ruling saying that small cells do not have any NEPA requirements or NEPA requirements. So they were challenged in court by the NRDC, which is really interesting that they did this, and a federal court in Washington decided that NRDC was right, and because they had raised the issue of whether or not the cumulative effect of 800,000 to a million transmitters or antennas wasn't a significant environmental problem. They decided that it was. So now they're back to the drawing board, and you know they have to go through this process. You know, a lot of these small cells are going to be exempt, but some of them are going to require an environmental assessment and possibly even an environmental impact statement. So it's going to slow them down. Going to slow them down a little bit. You know, we actually have towns and villages around Long Island here up in New York where the mayors and the boards of those villages are saying, no, you can't put any of these small cells in our community, and so sue us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're basically saying sue us because their constituents, the people who live in those neighborhoods are saying, there's no way. There is no way you're going to do that. No way you're going to put a small cell antenna, or you're going to allow them, the industry, to put one 14 feet from my kid's bedroom. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, or in the schools.
24/7, that is not going to happen. We have an attorney on our staff, and that, go ahead. Let them sue us. And they are. The Crown Castle and Extenet, which is a Canadian company, which happens to be very busy here on Long Island, they are the biggest construction companies of the infrastructure for these small cells.
Well, and I was
and
reading.
So they're suing like crazy. And towns and villages are saying, bring it on.
Yeah, and as are different nations and provinces in those mm-hmm. nations around the world. I read that there are 23 states so far who have introduced mobile 5G and small cell-related legislation in 2019, among them Alabama, Arkansas, Connecticut, Florida, mm-hmm. Georgia, Kansas, Louisiana, Maine, Nebraska, North Carolina, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, all mm-hmm. trying, and in Maryland, which we'll talk about next hour, it went to summer study. But then I was also looking at another list this afternoon, like AT&T, most of their experimental licenses for 5G are in Texas, and Verizon has most of them here on the East Coast with a few in Texas. You have Virginia, D.C. Sprint has experimental licenses in New Jersey and California, and T-Mobile in Bellevue, Washington, and San Francisco. Talk to us about how they can even have experimental licenses to go forward with this when there are no safety studies to prove that it's an acceptable technology. In fact, quite the reverse.
Yeah, exactly. Quite the reverse. I mean, they have, you know, there was no market testing on cell phones. That's number one. There was no market testing. And if you think they're market testing all this other stuff, think again. None of this has been tested. you mentioned a whole bunch of states that are moving forward. Connecticut, you know, seems to be the state that is in place to be the number one state to have a complete 5G coverage, you know, very, very soon. They are moving like crazy. They just passed their legislation to move 5G into the state several months ago, and we have been contacted by a state legislator in Stamford, which is the largest business city in Connecticut. And they will, he wants to have a hearing. He wants to just reverse this thing. He wants to do what New York has just done and what New Hampshire has done, which is to pass a resolution to study the health impacts of 5G. And Oregon, that has passed a bill, actually it was a bill to declare a state of emergency in the schools in Oregon, because of the amount of radiation in the schools that is being put out from these wireless devices that every kid is learning on today. I mean, screen learning is it. This is what we're pushing in this country, is screen learning. And everyone's on a wireless computer a tablet. And they're being given Chromebooks and tablets for free by the manufacturers, different school districts, because they're building brand loyalty. It's just, you know, things are just going so fast and so far. It seems like it's just out of reach, out of control for anybody to really do something about it. But the only thing that we can do, like we do with all of these other environmental issues, is to educate the public, mm-hmm. because the only thing that's more important than money is public opinion.
Well, you know, when I was reading some of the medical literature, I mean, I was so overwhelmed by this. I thought, oh my God, this is the worst thing since nuclear weapons, and I really believe that. And because when you realize what they're talking about, these arrays of transmitters and hundreds of thousands of new satellites, that 5G, we know, destroys the blood-brain barrier. We know already it causes infertility. We know already it exacerbates or creates depression, anxiety, insomnia, cancer. And this was the thing that just threw me over the edge, Patricia, was when I read that it causes the molecules in water to be displaced. I mean, the human body is 70% water, and in children even more.
Yep.
And so essentially, we're literally talking about the cooking of humanity with electromagnetic frequency. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they declare is completely safe.
Let's just talk
about this for a second.
Please
the Russian guidelines for human exposure are 100 times lower than the U.S., and Austria is 1,000 times lower than the U.S. If you looked at a bar graph and you were looking at all the countries of the world, you started with the A's and you went from, you know, Argentina and Austria and blah, 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 all the way. And, you know, they're just little blips. China's a little bit bigger and Russia's a little bit bigger. But when you get to the United States of America, it's like 100 times higher, the exposure that we allow our population to receive. It's insanity. It's really insanity. And the FCC is, they're just moving forward. You know, just several months ago, they came out and declared that they're going to keep their 1996 Telecommunications Act human exposure guidelines, which is just thermal exposures. They're not worried about biological exposures because there's no science. No, there's no science. I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of studies from credible academic institutions. We're talking about the government's own study, the NIH study that was conducted by the National Toxicology Program, cost taxpayers in the United States $30 million, a 10-year study, to determine that, yes, indeed, cell phone radiation causes cancer in humans. And it got the highest rating category, which was that there was clear evidence of carcinogenicity. I mean, what more do they want? What more do they want? I mean, this is not the first time we face, you know, problems like this. At one point in time, DDT and asbestos and tobacco They were all considered beneficial. And this
right.
is what this is the line, that this is fabulous. Look at what's happening. Look at this technology. Look at all the things we can do. But as the research matures and the health impacts become more public, will we really understand this, and will we actually do something about it? I don't know. Are we going to keep making this mistake over and over and over? I mean, I work with somebody up in Albany, where I worked with him, young man, early 30s, newborn baby, you know, recently married, and he was diagnosed last Thanksgiving, just a year ago this week, with a parotid gland tumor. And when he walked into Sloan Kettering, his surgeon looked at him and said, you know this is a cell phone tumor. Now, why doesn't Sloan Kettering say that publicly?
Right. Why don't they?
Yeah, why don't they? He died about a month ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And he, you know, because he knew it. He said, I knew this was a cell phone tumor. Says, you know, I used to talk on the phone to my girlfriend before we were married, and she was going to school out of state or whatever. The reason, and he says, I used to fall asleep on it. Fall asleep on your cell phone.
You know, I was looking at things people can buy, these little, you know, pockets made by Defense Shield or others where you can slip your phone in it, and it really does take away the radiation, so you don't go sterile, you don't get a tumor, you can put it on airplane mode when you're not using it. I mean, there are ways to protect ourselves already, and there are companies now who care, or at least they recognize there's a way to make some money in the pursuit of people trying to protect themselves, their households, mm-hmm. their children, their brains, mm-hmm. you know, their reproductive systems, and women who are getting abnormal kinds of breast cancer, because so many women carry their cell phone between their breasts or in a bra mm-hmm. that's actually designed to carry a cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Has a little pocket in it.
Yeah.
And if they put it in there with the antennas or the back of the phone against their body, those breast cancer cases,
yeah.
You will actually see a pattern of tumors just underneath the antennas.
Well, and brain cancer has increased so dramatically that yeah. there's no question that cell phones, and I'm always telling our kids and other young people who don't even have landlines anymore, or adults who are so happy they got rid of their landlines, I'm telling everybody, get your landlines back. And if you use your cell phone, you know, put it in one of these sleeves and don't put it up to your head. Use it, you know, at a distance and don't hold it in your hand. I mean, this is all real. Or people who sit with laptops on their legs and then get tumors in their thighs.
That's right. I mean, you know, it seems odd that we have to take to the streets and to the radio waves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
to protect our children. I mean, something is wrong here. It's really an involuntary exposure, which is something that, you know, we should not have to deal with in this country. And we have parents scrambling to protect their children from all kinds of things. And, you know, raising a family today is nothing like it was even 20 years ago. I mean, with the threat of climate change and
vaccinations,
you know, all the other things that are going on in the world.
Oh, it's just a radical time on planet Earth. We need to take our last break of the hour. If you're just joining us, Patricia Wood is with us. She's the executive director and founder of Grassroots Environmental Education in Port Washington, New York. Find them online at www.grassroots.info.org, and also go to www.telecompowergrab.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Nick Begich, independent researcher in science and technology. You can find out more about me at earthpulse.com. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Zoe Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Our guest is Patricia Wood, executive director and founder of Grassroots Environmental Education. Find them online at www.grassrootsinfo.org. And also, I want to point you to our website at 21st21stcenturyradio.com, because on the front left-hand column, there's an international appeal, Stop 5G on Earth and in Space. Arthur Furstenberg, who manages this, is just a remarkable research genius. genius. And when I was reading part of his paper, and he was talking about the density of radio frequency transmitters, how difficult it is for us to picture that there'll be millions of new 5G base stations on Earth, 20,000 new satellites in space, 20 billion transmitting objects for the Internet of Things, 1 trillion objects to come. And then there's the issue, of course, of those companies that want to do space-based 5G. Five companies are proposing to provide it from space with a combined 20,000 satellites in low and medium Earth orbit that will blanket the Earth with, quote, powerful, focused, steerable beams. Each satellite will emit millimeter waves with an effective radiated power of up to 5 million watts. So we're talking about, again, for those who may just be joining us, that this 5G technology is not just a simple new rollout. We are talking about a planetary-wide experiment at the cost of all life on Earth for the profit of the telecom communications industry. And I have to say the ability of it all to be militarized, because these microwave arrays are used in certain military situations, and some of the frequencies are the same ones they use in crowd control technology. Patricia?
Yes, it's these are called active denial systems, and they actually put these microwave beams or these microwave devices on, they can put them on tanks, you can put them on Humvees, you can put them on any kind of vehicle, and then use them for crowd control. I mean, it is a very effective way to disperse a crowd. It will make your skin feel like it is on fire. People will just, you know, leave the area as fast as they can. I wanted to just go back. There's two things. First of all, that telecom power grab is now called 5gcrisis.com.
Okay.
A little bit easier to remember, 5gcrisis.com. And then just going back a little bit, I mean, how were they allowed to do this?
Yeah.
It seems to always be an interplay between industry and our agencies, which are supposed to protect us. We have some of them, believe it or not. In Washington, there's the EPA, and there's the USDA, and then there's the FDA, and there's the FCC, and these are all agencies that were designed to protect people from whatever out there. And they're not doing their job, obviously. They are supposed to be regulating those industries that produce things or develop develop technologies that may harm us, and they're very, you know, that's what they're supposed to be doing, and they're very negligent. But I want to say that back in the 1970s, the late 1970s, we had scientists at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, that concluded that they had sufficient evidence to announce that exposure to wireless radiation had a biological effect on animals and humans, including damage to major organs, disruption of important biological processes, and the potential risk for cancer. This was back in the 1970s. Completely ignored it. In 1982, the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Radiation Programs, which had been studying the non-thermal effects of wireless radiation for about a decade, announced that it was developing a federal guidance to limit public exposure. But before the agency was able to develop and implement those guidelines, its authority to do so was rescinded, and the office was defunded. This happened, almost simultaneously with the 1996 Telecommunications Act. It's just amazing that we have allowed this to roll out like this. I mean, I've been listening to NPR over the weekend, and, they're talking about China and how China is doing this facial recognition thing. If you want to get a cell phone, you have to be scanned.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to track your every move.
And that's, of course, what the Internet of Things will do.
Mm-hmm,
and the fact that whoever provides you with the particular receivers, transmitters, has an ear on everybody and everything, which is why some countries won't take China's technology, but they'll take Israel's or they'll take somebody else's. But there's no security for any human just on that level. But then the physical destruction that we and our planetary landscape and our ionosphere. I mean, maybe I'll talk about that next hour. I don't know, with our next guest. But I mean, when you read what it's doing to the Schumann resonance, which is the basic resonance of the Earth to which we're all entrained, they even put a Schumann resonator on the spaceships to keep the spacemen and women, you know, in harmony with biology. We're talking about the destruction of our whole planet. And I know when I talked about this on Facebook, I was so ridiculed. I have since shut down my Facebook page. I just found it totally distracting and not very useful for me. But in general, when you try to bring these subjects up to very well-educated people who are scientists and doctors, they think that you're a little nuts.
Yeah, you're part of the Tin Hat Brigade.
Yeah, well, I've always been that. Nothing
but,
new.
You know,
which is...
We are at the end of this year.
Yeah.
And in 2020, their target is to roll out 5G antennas, 5G satellites, 5G routers, 5G smartphones. This is just a big, big push. And so we need more and more and more states to say, stop. We're going to just put on the brakes. We're going to study the health effects. We've got a few knowledgeable, enlightened congressmen and senators in Washington who are beginning to say, wait a minute, let's look at this, let's look at the health effects. I don't know if you saw the clip of Blumenthal's hearing. Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut called the FCC and the industry, CTIA, their industry group, into a hearing. And he wanted to know how much money they are putting into studying the health impacts of this technology. And they both looked at each other and they said, nothing.
Yeah, none is the answer.
And so Blumenthal said, so we're flying in the dark here, right? We have no idea. Actually, we do. We have a very good idea. We have facts. We have science. We have, you know, we have what's important, which is the scientific, peer-reviewed academic research being conducted by people who have no financial stake in this whatsoever. And the opposition has a huge financial stake in this.
And complete conflict of interest.
Interest, and they have enormous power.
Yeah, and they lobby our Congress, and they lobby our states, and they pay for people's whatever, as we've seen, you know, the Golden Rolodex Club in one door and out the other. And so in terms of, because we're going to run out of time, and I want to be sure to talk about what people should do if they're listening to this program, or they bump into this somewhere else, or they go on the Internet and find information that concerns them. What's the best thing to do in your local community?
The best thing to do in the local community is to get some information to your local elected officials. You need to make sure that the entire board of trustees or whatever it's called in your community and the mayor has the information that they need. Now, we have a lot of that information on 5gcrisis.com. 5gcrisis.com. Probably the most valuable piece on there is a booklet called Wireless Radiation, an Undeniable Risk to Human Health. It's basically just an annotated history of the science, starting at the very beginning, you know, way back when. And it goes through and then it's cited. There is a list of all these studies, references in the back of that. And the other thing is to provide, you know, very credible websites to your elected officials. Some of the information, I mean, we have a lot of handouts on 5gcrisis.com, but also just to provide them with the science and some scientific sites like Joel Moskowitz's site, EHT, Environmental Health Trust, and Theodoro's going to be on in a few minutes,
right,
speaking about that. They have a lot of science. We have a lot of science You can go to the babysafesite.org. It's called babysafeproject.org. Sometimes when you talk about pregnant women, people listen. It's a very interesting thing. Pregnant women are protected in this society, unlike any other segment of our population. And we actually created this this project with Deborah Davis from EHT and with the research of Hugh Taylor, who is the head of reproductive sciences and OBGYN at Yale Medical School. And what we're doing with this is a very simple thing. We're trying to just educate pregnant women about taking simpler precautions during their pregnancy to avoid exposure of the fetus to wireless radiation, not putting their cell phones in their pockets, not using their bellies for a laptop table, not sitting right next to a router, not sleeping next to your cell phone or to a router. Very important things. And children in schools, that has to happen. I mean, New York State actually put out a resolution that the union of the teachers in New York State put out a resolution saying that hardwired classrooms is really the only safe way to use the internet.
There is a website that whatis5g.info, and then there's mm-hmm. the one that's safeg.net. That's S-A-F-E,
mm-hmm.
safeg.net, exactly.
And that whole thing is about fiber optics. I mean, we're not saying that technology is a bad thing. We're not a bunch of Luddites. What we are is saying, okay, fine, we need the internet, and so let's use it safely.
Exactly.
So let's do fiber optics to the premises. And that way we're all connected with a safe technology that will allow us that access.
Right. And, of course, when you oppose 5G, that's the first thing the telecom providers say. Oh, you're against technology. And the truth is, no, we're not against technology. We want safe technology that doesn't kill us and our planet at the same time.
Exactly. And there's always something that I'd like to say, for your listeners, and that is that the insurance companies like Swiss Re and Lloyd's of London, which are reinsurance companies, do not insure cell phone providers due to the health risks. The telecoms have to file with the SEC on a regular basis, and the report to their shareholders is that they cannot assure that they are safe from liability due to health effects of their technology.
We'll have to stop on that note, Patricia, and have you back again. We will do a whole series once again. Patricia Wood, thank you so much, Executive Director and Founder at grassroots.org. And we want to remind you to go to babysafeproject.org, 5gcrisis.com.
Breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.